Okay, so welcome everybody. My name is Anton.
And I'm Rodianne.
This is our first summer information question and answer meeting for 2022. Our last one was on the 29th of December last year. Someone managed to squeeze it in right towards the end of last year. And interest has just been building and building. It's been a very busy start to the year. And it's such a pleasure to see so many new faces and at the same time see some familiar faces, people that have joined us for the first time in the last couple of months, and people that have been with us for quite a while. Many of you have arrived through some media articles that have been doing the rounds again in the last few months. Daily Maverick popped into the equation towards the beginning of January. There was a Cape Talk. A Carte Blanche has been with us for several years. And that draws interest in bringing people to SOMA, bringing people looking for information about psilocybin mushrooms with Monica. We're going to share a little bit of information with that or about that with you this evening. This is very much an informal kind. We try and keep it informal. We're not wanting to talk too much yet. At the same time, we do, especially I do, can ramble on. So we're here to answer your questions. Zoom has the functions at the bottom of under reactions. If you have a question, please put up your hand. We will follow that kind of conversation. Some of you are experienced with that. People like me who are not in the corporate world anymore have been learning our way over the last 2 years, especially. And then there's the text and the chat box. Please feel free to answer questions in that way or ask questions in that way. You're welcome to communicate there too. Many of you have asked questions and put some thoughts in the registration process when you completed the form. We're not going to run down that as a list. We have a few very special people with us this evening who are experienced in working with mushrooms as watchers. And we've all got an idea of what those thoughts are. But if there are any gaps in the conversation, please feel free to ask. If it relates to things like supply and sourcing sacraments, we can talk about that by email. It does come up, and I can send you more information in that way. It's going to be different responses for depending on where you are throughout the country and maybe if there's people that are elsewhere in the world, there are solutions for that. Our purpose here is to share how we work with sacred mushrooms through experience and what we've learned through experience. Monica has been hosting physical ceremonies in Somerset West for more than 12 years, and we've learned through experience in that way what works, and we've made mistakes along the way. And we've learned from that, and so we grow. We have with us, excluding Monica, who I'm certain will join us a little later, some experienced watchers who will introduce themselves to you, and they'll start giving you a bit of an overview of their own involvement with psilocybin mushrooms. We're all normal people from all walks of life. There are no shamans here. There are no gurus. We're simply normal people. With an exception that we have experienced, we've each had deep and repeated experiences working with SOMA and sacred mushrooms in this way. And as such, we can share from our experience. And some of those experiences go back over many years. And that's how we learn. We learn from each other. We can learn from you as well, from your own experiences. And that's why this is an open conversation. I'm responsible for the admin. I assist Monica with her communications, and you'll find me in a lot of the writing. Some of us have communicated already, and the information's out there, and we're trying to share that with as many people as possible. So that's my intro, catching a bit of breath. Let's hand over to Rodianne to say hi.
Good evening, everybody. Thank you so much for being here. As Anton said, it's really lovely to see lots of fresh new faces and to know that there are people who are interested in finding out what we do. My journey with mushrooms started many years ago. I was just trying to rack my brains. Now I really need to actually just go and sit down and have a rummage through and find some dates, because I know it's more than 6 years, but I'm not sure, because my world kind of mixed. I met Monica through astrology, and I was one of those people that would go for a journey and then not go, and then go for a journey and not go again. So I was one of those slow people, if I can say that. And then there was a big gap where I didn't go at all. And about 4 years ago, I decided that I got a very clear sign for me that this is what I want to do. I want to be part of this community that Monica has now encouraged to happen, which is this watching community. And here I find myself after COVID sitting on the other side of the screen, assisting and giving people as much support as we possibly can to take the step and take the leap and do this for themselves. And it's quite an achievement. So other than that, we live about an hour out of Cape Town on a beautiful piece of land that not so long ago Anton and I decided we're gardeners. So as you said, we're very much normal people. And when I say gardeners, we've got a dream to create like wild gardens and veggie gardens and labyrinth gardens. But anyway, we're very normal. Just here to answer as many questions as you have. And I'm looking forward to hearing from all of you. So thank you very much for joining us this evening.
Thank you, Rodianne. While you were speaking, Monica joined us. Hi, Monica. So wonderful to see you. And I checked in with Kim a little bit earlier, thinking that maybe Kim was still with you, making that wrong assumption. And it's wonderful to see you. I know you've had a busy day. And now you're here on a very busy and full screen.
I see.
Rodi has just finished introducing herself. Would you like to say hi to everybody? Let us know how you are today.
Hi there, everyone. It's nice to see a good group here tonight. I don't see all of your faces, but some of you I know already. I'm doing okay, struggling like everyone with the heat. And we're busy with Kim and Brendan, who'll be joining us soon, any minute, busy putting together a documentary. So that's quite a busy time that we're having at the moment. But I've been involved with mushrooms for a very, very long time, and very intensely. And it's tremendously important in my life, and I'm very committed to doing everything that I can do to enable the public, the people in the world, to actually know what working with mushrooms can do for us. Thanks, Anton.
Thank you, Monica. I gave a short introduction. Well, my short and your short is quite the same. I rambled on a little bit with an introduction. One of the reasons that there's a larger group, normally about 15 people. One of the reasons we're a larger group is your Daily Maverick article earlier this month, as well as talking on Cape Talk. And then Carte Blanche, who's been around a lot over the last few years. And that's there's an impetus. There's a swelling of interest, which you contributed to a lot and had to respond to a lot of questions. Has that continued a lot, Monica, in as January has taken off and as the year has gone on?
Yeah, there it is very busy. Lots of people wanting to know, and I think it's coming from many sources, like mushroom spread in nature, sending mycelium out under the ground, looking for something to eat. Actually, something dead to eat is what they're looking for, and so it starts spreading in a way that is really interesting because it multiplies so fast.
And lastly, Monica, if you know, there is an expo coming up in March. We're not directly involved in it, but it's coming up later in March in Cape Town.
Yes.
Continued interest.
There was a similar expo in Joburg recently, and now the same group that organized that is going to do a mushroom expo, and I think it will include a cannabis expo also. Down here in Cape Town. Not all of you are in Cape Town, but some of us are.
Thank you, Monica. We'll share those informal details as we come across it. But let's meet the rest of the watchers that are part of our panel this evening. Thank you, Margie, for being here. Thank you, Roger. Margie, let's continue with you. I see Lee, you are asking questions. We will kick off with you once Margie and Roger have started, and you guys can flow into those kinds of answers as well. But how are you, Margie? So lovely to see you this evening.
I'm very well. Hi, I'm in Cape Town, and I've been working with mushrooms since the end of 2018. So it's 3 years, and I've been watching since May last year and discovering a whole different side of it. I'm also learning that the more you do mushrooms, the less you kind of know where it's going to take you to. But I've been amazed at how, when I start reflecting back to how I see myself react to situations, for example, I see how changed I am in how I deal with things. And I think a lot of that is due to working with the mushrooms. So it's there's the journeys when you take the 5 grams and all the stuff that happens in those few hours, but there's just so much around it as well. And seeing a progression from one journey to the other. So I've been doing mostly 1 gram journeys, and then like recently I did 2 5-gram journeys within 2 weeks of each other because I felt the need to do that. And then I probably won't do another one for a few months. And then I do, you know, it's something that you have there as something that you can do in your life to help you find a good balance in life as well. So it is exciting to see the number of people that, you know, develop an interest in that, and it is exciting. So yes, that's me.
Margie, you're an academic who's reaching the end of that part of her career. And you've got some exciting changes coming up in the next few months. I'm not trying to paint a picture of your age, but I am illustrating or want to know how you're feeling about starting a new phase in your life.
Well, firstly, I'm actually very excited about it. And I think having worked with mushrooms has also given me something that I can also take into that period as well. And it's definitely something I'll be continuing with. I think that the academic side makes me completely fascinated as a researcher, you know, what's happening, what makes this. Sometimes it's a bit disturbing in the journeys because I keep analyzing what I'm thinking about. And I think, oh, damn it, just let your ego go and just stop analyzing and just experience. But from a researcher perspective, I find it completely fascinating. And from just a very emotional and psychological experience, I just am really enjoying the benefits of it. So yeah, they're coming to a new phase of life, and I'm not too old. I've got still lots of energy to start something new. So I think it's a good thing to be retiring. And look at Monica. She started about slightly younger than what I am now, and had a whole new career in it. So yes, that's me.
Thank you, Margie. Look forward to hearing from you this evening. Roger, good evening. And Belle, I see, is still visiting you. The kitty cats are very present on the screens. Hi, Roger.
Hi, Roger.
Good evening. Good evening all to you. I'm Roger. I was previously living in Cape Town, and that's where I came across Monica and Somaland roughly about 6 years ago. And at that particular point in my life, at the age of about 50, I really was at the end of my rope. And after my first journey, it really was a life-changing experience with tremendous healing, therapeutic benefits, and a journey into one's own spirituality and consciousness. I mean, I've worked with Monica and Anton and Radian in Cape Town. And now I find myself in Pelabora, close to the Kruger National Park. I help with the online ceremonies. Having said that, I received a lot of healing and therapeutic benefit. I think it's just important to point out that we don't profess to heal any condition, be it PTSD or depression or addiction or anything like that. But the fact is that doing a soma-like journey does have tremendous benefits. I marvel at the feedback that we get, the insights that people get, the healing that they experience, the issues of trauma that they resolve. But just to point out that we don't profess to heal anybody. That is a byproduct of doing a journey in many cases. I'm going to leave it there for now.
Roger, that ties in to an extent with Lee's question about the experience with repressed trauma, etc. The connection with the divine force that happens when we're working with sacred mushrooms, the side effects, we've spoken about the side effects of the healing of that, and you've touched on it to an extent as well. That there's no professing of dealing with those issues, but the near side effects are the benefits that we see through experience, and you often see it with people that have attended of all kinds of parts and experiences that they've had in their life. And the second part, Thabo, I'll follow your hand. The second part of Lee's thought was your experience with long COVID and how fit and healthy do you need to be? Come as you are is very much the answer. Monica, I think you can agree with me there because I've heard you answer that. It's very much come as you are, come as you're physically feeling and ready. Mushrooms do no harm. Do you agree, Monica?
You can't ever be ready for mushrooms. If you just feel a call, it's something you want to do, then just do it. Don't wait and work on yourself to get ready because you will never be ready for such a big thing.
So come as you are, it's a gentle experience when you let go. It's our own resistance that creates a certain friction. So there's no preparation as far as needing to heal yourself and do a therapy before you arrive. And when you are becoming part of the experience, be it in a physical group or joining us for an at-home experience where you're encouraged to have a companion with you, you're going to receive the information from us that will help you prepare your digestive system. You're going to get that kind of advice. But the rest of the preparations, you are ready as you are. Thabo, you're welcome. Thabo, am I pronouncing your name correctly?
Yes, actually, more correctly than most people do the first time around. So my question is really around the quantity of the dosage. I know you guys recommend 5 grams. That sounds like a lot for a first timer. So I want to know, is that the recommended dosage or is it, I mean, what informs that 5 grams? Because it sounds like a lot for I mean, like I say, a first timer. So wanted to know if there's milder experiences or if that is the recommended dosage for a reason.
Anton, maybe I can answer that, give a first bite at that.
Thank you,
The experience that we've had over many years is that 5 grams is the right amount, especially for somebody doing it for the first time. Mm. Look, the point here is simply this. This is not a recreational experience. We don't offer a recreational experience. We're offering you a deeply spiritual experience. And we found that 5 grams for a first-time journeyer is the right dosage. As you become more experienced in using mushrooms, then you do learn how to maximize it, and you can go for lesser amounts, as Margie was alluding to earlier. But we feel that, and it's been tried and tested, doesn't matter how big or how small you are, or how fit or unhealthy you are, 5 grams is the dosage that we recommend, especially for a first timer. It works. I mean, that's the right dosage.
Roger, the word that Monica has used, and it's also in the frequently asked questions on the SomaLand website knowledge base, is calibration. 5 grams is that calibration dose, which through experience of over 12 years in working this way has become the dosage which allows one to calibrate yourself, and more often than not, find that in time after a few trips of 5 grams, you can then reduce the dose. But I've sat there with Monica, you know, I've seen speaking to people where, what if you've taken a smaller dose and you haven't experienced the full experience and you feel like you haven't experienced the full experience? Then you're holding on to the experience. And that is what makes it a difficult experience, is our own personal resistance to that. Am I right, Monica?
You can, after a few experiences with 5 grams, you can actually drop to 2 or 3 grams and have the strongest experiences you've ever had, because your body is accustomed to itself and there's no desire to have more and more. It doesn't work that way. You don't need more and more.
Exactly. Thank you. Following on, I'm not sure who was first, read me in the top corner. I also have a Xiaomi phone, so I recognize the Redmi. Let's go top left. Who are we speaking to? How are you? I'm going to unmute you. There we go.
Oh, sorry, my name is Estelle. Good evening.
Hi, Estelle.
My main concern is that I'm not 16 anymore, so I've been around the block, and I have this extreme internal reluctance to letting go, even though I have been through various treatments and I'm very drawn to this, have been for a while and never really known how to make contact. How do I overcome that resistance? That's just ego, or is it fear, or is it old trauma trying to get me not to go anywhere?
What is your resistance, Estelle? My understanding, or just to gain a clarity?
To letting go. I'm always in control. Am I going to waste my time, or should I at least try?
Stepping into fear, stepping into your own fear is one of the most liberating experiences. And we experience that with Soma and with mushrooms in the most incredible ways. You arriving here at this meeting is the first step of that synchronicity, of that happening for when the time is right for you. We so often mention that when you decided to join and decided to work with mushrooms, be it with us or elsewhere. We're not professing that that's not possible elsewhere, but that's when this awareness starts opening up. And when you have stepped through that door to what you're holding on to prevent and maybe even avoiding, it nearly always is something completely different. And there's a liberation and freedom that comes with that. And the difficult experience, which is terribly referred to as a bad trip, and there's a question about it again from Richie, is no, there can't be a permanent psychological damage. The privilege of a difficult experience is a rapid teaching. Mm-hmm. It's those difficult experiences where you really do the hard work. Roger reminded us that we're not here for a recreational experience. We're here to do deep spiritual work. And a difficult trip is one where you have an opportunity to really work through the stuff. Monica.
I just wanted to quote something, Estelle. I think maybe we're more or less the same age.
Yes.
And there's a book with a title. I've quoted this so often, it's getting boring. But the title is so perfect for your question. You don't need to read the book. And this is the title of the book. Feel the fear and do it anyway.
Oh, yes.
You just feel the fear and go into it.
I know. And I can't keep on saying no. I'm doing myself more harm than anything else. You know?
You are. Yeah. You're not harming yourself. You're just creating a delay.
Yeah.
In the amazing experience that can go on and on and on. It becomes almost something that is part of your lifestyle if you choose that, where you are growing all the time. Hundreds and hundreds of people have come through my home and worked with mushrooms, and nobody's been hurt. There's nothing to fear. It's very, very safe, non-addictive. You might have a difficult experience, but then you just keep going with it. And the difficult experience will evaporate and take you somewhere else. But if you resist it, it just gets harder and harder.
Okay. Thank you very much.
If I may just add, a couple of years back, Monica did a bit of an academic survey of people that had been through SomaLand, who had experienced a journey at SomaLand. The first thing that struck me from that survey was the age cohort, the general age cohort of people. And what was interesting to me was most of them were middle-aged or higher.
Yeah.
And to some extent you can put it down to it's at that age that you start asking all those esoteric and existential questions that we all ask ourselves.
Yes. Or allow yourself time to actually look at the questions, not just bury it somewhere. Yeah,
that too. And I also just want to say to you, I salute you because you have already taken the first step. You are here today.
Okay.
There's a beautiful process that unfolds in the week building up to a ceremony on a Saturday evening. And that process also prompts you in preparing yourself for the Saturday evening.
Okay. Thank you so much.
there are so many people have been through this process.
Yeah.
And no harm has been done.
Yeah. Thank you so much. I appreciate that.
Looking forward to seeing you, Estelle.
Thank you.
Can I just add something around the fear? And I mean, somebody was asking in the group about somebody can explain or describe the experience. And my first journey was one where I just brought everything up and didn't have a particularly profound journey. And I thought, I did it with my daughter who had a wonderful journey. Now I was a bit jealous and everything. And I did the next one a year later and it just worked. And it was, and I saw that first one as a kind of failure, but thinking back and, you know, from things Monica says and Anton and all the other watchers, you know, saying it's what you needed at the time. And I think part of it was an absolute inability to let go at that time. Yeah. And since then, you know, I still struggle to let go. And it's a process of learning. And the more I do it, the more I think I'm getting there. And so, you know, and, you know, as Roger explained, he had a particular crisis point in his life that mushrooms helped him deal with. I didn't have a particular crisis. I just felt completely disconnected. So it was a more subtle set of changes than that. But I can just see the changes. And it's, you know, it might just happen all on the first journey, or it might not. You don't know. And that's what is actually quite anxiety-provoking and quite exciting.
Yeah, also, I ask too many questions. You know, that's what I'm scared about, not being able to let go of the questions and just experiencing. Yeah.
It's useful to also try and really think about it quite a lot and prepare yourself in the week leading up to the journey. And, you know, I don't do meditation, but if you do meditation, try and do some of that before, try and, you know, have a really calm day on the day, just and go to the journey with actually no expectations. And that's quite hard to do in itself.
No, but I think that is the best advice possible, is because expectations is terrible, you know. Yeah. Thank you so much, everybody. I really appreciate it. Looking forward to the journey.
You're welcome. Thank you, Margie. Vernon, I'm gonna cross to you shortly. I want to add about the SOMA at home experiences Sheila has asked about, it being safe. For one's first time on your own, we do strongly recommend, and part of the work that we do is helping people work with mushrooms on their own, and that help and support includes providing support to someone that can be with you. So part of the experience and what we're offering is preparation throughout the week before to the journeyer, but also preparation throughout the week before for a companion, be it a husband, a wife, a friend that you trust that can be with you. We're including them in the process so that they can physically be with you on the Saturday night. And on the Saturday night, we're still available, along with the whole group that's working with someone that night, are available as a support structure throughout the night, be it to check in and say hi, be it to ask questions about what the person is experiencing. We're there as a support line. So although we strongly recommend someone to be there with you, there have been occasions where people have worked for whatever reasons on their own. And it's probably one of the most, I think, powerful experiences to see that you actually have yourself in your own hands. Working with mushrooms, you're quite capable of working on your own. But again, recommended, not knowing what that experience holds, to have somebody with you. But they don't have to have any experience on their own. And the physical gatherings, there's a question about that as well. There is an opportunity for them. They are starting up slowly but surely. More information will follow about that shortly. There are no dates listed on the website as yet. But the world is returning to some sort of normal. The SOMA at home events will continue for people wherever they are around the world. I always think of, is it Meryl who was in Kuwait? On the 25th floor in the middle of lockdown, and Muriel, middle of lockdown, and then she was with sacraments saying, please, can you help me journey? Can we journey as a group? Because this powerful connection we're learning is a connection that's available to us, even if we're not physically present. And there she was on the 25th floor of her apartment in Kuwait City
on her own
mm-hmm. And has been part of our journey and is one of our watchers. She's a very experienced journeyer as well in a group. So, Vernon, let's go to you before I ramble on too much.
Sorry, can I just come in there quickly?
Thank you, Roger.
And just say that as far as physical or group sessions are concerned, I mean, I do believe that Monica is going to start having journeys at Somaliland once again. But there's also the possibility through the online process, to actually have pods of people across the country connecting into the Soma on Land process, which really is a beautiful process that helps you prepare yourself in the week up to the event. And to have pods of people across the country, maybe with a watcher watching over a couple of people, but integrating that into the online process. You know, I've had people from Polokwane coming to me in Palabora, and I said to them, listen, I want you to actually sign up for the online process, and we will integrate that process into actually meeting with you physically and watching over you and doing a ceremony in person. So the permutations are actually endless.
Those groups, Roger, as you say, are one or two or three people, groups with Monica, probably as we tried during lockdown when regulations lifted a little bit, went back to 5 or 10 people. And maybe in time we'll return to those larger gatherings where we had up to 20 people. We've done outdoor experiences in Joburg and elsewhere where we've had 20, 25 people. Mm-hmm. As far as journeys are concerned, to answer some of those questions. So the size of the pod, the size of the group, the size of the experience is unlimited if we connect it in this way, but people can work on their own in this way and joining groups of experienced watchers as well. Thank you, Roger. Vernon, you've been waiting very patiently.
Can you hear me?
We can.
Yes. Well, I'm quite new to Zoom. yes, first of all, thank you very much for what you guys are doing. I think it's wonderful. And I think, well, especially me, definitely me, you're giving me a bit of hope. But still, I do have quite a few questions still. I went on the archives and I found a lot of answers there. So let me just put the questions. It is, I'm actually, I've been suffering from depression for a long time and I'm using antidepressants. So apparently I should stop the use of the antidepressants for a day or two beforehand, before the ceremony, okay? Can I do microdosing in those for that day or that, say for that 2 days, because I think I'm going to be a very bad mood in those 2 days. it's not going to be fun for me. All right. And then the other thing is, does microdosing increase anxiety? Say if I choose to do microdosing after a Soma trip, or I'm calling it a trip, let's rather call it an experience. Can I microdose? Does it increase anxiety? And then I want to ask about a bad experience. Is it very, can one get very, very anxious? So it can get life-threatening. So you can get a heart attack or something like that. I don't know. Maybe I'm battling to find the English words. Oh yeah, and the last one is, can the mushrooms make you vomit? Maybe while having an experience. So I think that's the questions that I have.
Thank you, Roger. I also want to hand over to Monica specifically regarding the antidepressants, but I'm going to go to you next, Roger. Vernon, I'll post a link here as well. You've mentioned the a bit of a language barrier. There is an Afrikaans podcast, which I'll send you a link to by Willem van der Walt, and it's entitled Magic Mushrooms, Wat Gaan An? And that may help you from a language point of view as well.
It's fine with me. I need to use words that I'm not familiar with using it. I skipped a question. Sorry, I'm interrupting. While we are having this Soma experience, will everybody that participate, would they be on Zoom, or Is it just, do you just listen to music? Where do I download the music? Apparently you have a playlist or something like that. So that was the last.
Thank you. Let's start with Roger and see how we work our way through, and we'll give you all the answers, Vernon.
Thank you.
Right. Yes, we do suggest that you try and stop the antidepressants for a day or two before the experience. That's simply because the antidepressants can actually, to some extent, nullify the effect of the psilocybin. That's the first point. If you felt that there was a need to microdose in those two days or day before, then I think that's what you should do. But let me just say that my own personal experience says to me that what you first want to do is you want to have that 5-gram journey. You want to have that, let's call it the big bang experience, and then follow that up with microdosing should you feel the need to do it afterwards. Will the microdosing increase anxiety? No. You're taking such a small amount with microdosing that you actually don't want to feel the effects of the mushrooms at all. It must just be working slowly and quietly in the background of your consciousness. The point of during the ceremony, whether you're going to be on Zoom, not necessarily. We do, as watchers, we do have a presence on Zoom the whole evening. You don't have to switch on your Zoom. And we do make use of WhatsApp during the evening. The point I'm trying to also make here is that a soma journey is a deeply personal experience. And there is actually very little outward manifestation of what you experience during a journey. I just want to make that point. So, and as far as the music is concerned, there would be a link that would be sent to you during the week that would give you access to the music. But I'll hand over to a much higher and knowledgeable authority in Monica.
Okay. Vernon, that was a lot of questions. I'll just say something briefly about microdosing. I think that if you try microdosing to counteract being without your antidepressants, it's not going to have any effect at all. It would be a waste of the microdosing. I do recommend, though, do you have a psychiatrist or a doctor who's looking after you with your medications?
Yes, I do.
That person should know what you're doing.
Yes, well, I've spoken to her, and I'll be fine without medication for 2 days. I won't do anything or do anybody harm. I will just be in a very bad mood. You know, I won't feel good. That's all. And I thought about it, and I thought, well, I need to have. Well, I have to ask the question. Maybe it can help.
The best way to work with microdosing is to start with the full-on 5 grams journey, and then after that, go into microdosing. And you then self-medicate because you choose how often it per day and how long you're going to carry on, because it's not a permanent thing. The way I work with it now is if ever in my work, I've got to do quite a bit of preparation that is very intense. And I usually, when I'm going to go into that preparation, I take a microdose to clear my mind, to help me focus, to help me see more clearly what it is that I need to do. But I don't use it every day. You would probably need, yes, to start for a few days, 3 times a day, and then maybe twice a day. That would be for a couple of days, and another couple of days, twice a day, and then once a day, and then stop when you start to feel okay. It's not like a medication, a prescription medication that you must take every day. It's just you feel what you need.
Yeah, I would really like to stop the antidepressant.
There are notes. Anton will be sending you notes on microdosing.
Yes, thank you very much.
Remember your other questions, Vernon.
I think mostly the vomiting. I had a hernia operation a few years back, and I'm quite concerned about maybe this stuff is going to make me sick because I can't vomit. So I would have liked to know if that should be a concern. Yes.
We do recommend that you have either very little food for the last few days before the journey, and preferably none at all on the Saturday of the journey, so that your stomach is not full of food, because there's some competing then between the food and the mushrooms. And very seldom do people vomit. With ayahuasca, it's almost inevitable you're going to vomit through the night. And occasionally people on mushrooms do purge, but it's not nearly as often. And I have not in all these years and so many people ever experienced anyone being hurt by the purging. It's actually quite a relief, because it's a getting rid of the very thing that you are doing the journey for.
Oh, okay.
So just be sick. Be happily sick into a bucket or something.
Well, it's going to be very bad for me if I do get
sick. Okay.
Because I won't be able to get rid of it.
Because of your surgery.
Yes. And yes. Well, yeah. And then, yes, I would want to grow mushrooms. So I think Anton can help me with that. But that's something we can talk about later.
I want you to get a degree in mushrooms in this 1 or 2 hours that we're here together.
Yes. I don't want to make up too much of your time, but I read that there's some other mushroom, medicinal mushroom that can actually help you to grow back brain neurons and, you know, do all of that. So, yes, I'm going to do quite a bit of research. Yes.
Keep it up. It will keep you busy for the rest of your life. What happens when you work with mushrooms is it opens a portal, and you have an experience, but that is just the beginning. And there's more and more and more. And the more often you do it, the more landscape opens up for you. It's a wonderful education. And if you start to grow mushrooms, you develop a connection with those mushrooms. I often hear growers saying that it's their children. They've got little children that they're raising, because that's what it's like.
Okay.
One step at a time, maybe, and you will never be bored. You will never get tired of it.
Yes. You see, the thing with depression is that whenever something bothers you or makes you feel depressed, that incidence, I'm what causes my depression is OCD. I'm with a perfectionist tendencies. So whenever something bothers you, it keeps mulling in your head and you can't get rid of it, and eventually you think yourself sick and it makes you depressed. If I can just switch that little sound or that little voice off. And maybe the mushroom can. I don't know. Hopefully it can. I think that'll help me a lot.
The good news is that it is all in your head. It's your own thoughts. And you learn to navigate a mushroom journey, become more skilled at it. And part of that skill involves letting go of your thinking. Estelle had something like that as well. Don't think about it. Don't ask questions. Don't ask to understand. Just submit to whatever is given to you. It will be specifically crafted for you. And everyone will be having a different experience that is unique to them.
Can I speak to Vernon very quickly on that note of the little voice and the OCD?
Yeah.
I'm Vernon Brendan here, seasoned Soma journey operator. My first journey was back in the 90s in Sedona in America. And I didn't specifically go for any purpose, but I was extremely OCD. That little voice in the head was, of course, as we know, the ego saying, it's got to be like this, it's got to be like that, it's got to be like this, it's got to be like that. And the only way I released that was literally by releasing the ego. And in that moment of kind of peak journey, that was what happened. So I can only speak for myself, but I think the value in having a journey like that, with an OCD element plus having a nervous disorder, etc., really helps being able to just say, right now I can actually just think straight and not worry too much about all the little voices and the little things going on in the background. So just to put in my 5 pennies.
Yeah, well, I think you're spot on. It's that little voice that makes you sick in the end. But yes, medication, yeah, it helps, but only suppresses it. It doesn't really. And then you have to live with the side effects. And, I've been doing that for 15 years now, and I'm really tired of it now. So I'm really glad that I found you guys.
Yeah, I think the reality for that in terms of I wasn't really on medication as such, but the behavioral elements. So, the story in terms of behaving with an OCD brain, as it were. And I think maybe Anton can speak into this as well about the Soma really bringing calm to the mind, particularly after the first, second and third, and obviously microdosing down the line was also quite a successful element for my process. But the calming of the mind is depending on how extreme the journey goes, happens really well, really, really easily, I think. So, that for me was a really positive relief in cutting loose that voice, as it were,
Mm-hmm. Well, thank you very much, everybody. You make me feel very positive. And I think I'm done with my questions. So if there's somebody else that wants to ask questions.
John, I've seen Donna has been waiting quite a long time.
Yes, we've got Lindy and then Donna. Zoom has got the order on the screen for us, but if we'd like to go to Donna next. Lindy, how are you doing? You're going to be with us for a while. Thank you. Donna, how are you?
Hi there. Sorry, can you hear me? Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay, sorry. So I'm very new to this as well, and a friend forwarded me the email, so I might be asking questions here that you can just say to me, go look at our website, because I didn't know there was a website. But you keep referring to the Saturday night experience. And so I understand that this is answering questions about the actual, the psilocybin experience. But I'm understanding that you've curated an opportunity for people to participate. And I don't know if other people don't need this explanation, I can take this explanation offline. But you keep talking about a Saturday night experience and a ceremony. Does anyone else need that explanation of what's going, how that works?
Donna, the origin of a Soma retreat, originally its main core comes from the Soma retreats that were held in Somerset West with Monica. And they were typically held on a Saturday night. During lockdown, we started with the Soma at home experience, where people were not able to travel to Somerset West. And we've assisted people working with mushrooms in a similar way, wherever they are, in South Africa or throughout the world. But this meeting is for anybody that wants to know anything really about that and about psilocybin mushrooms. This is open to you. This is open to any questions.
Okay.
It's an open platform.
Okay. So then I do have further questions with that. So I'm assuming you can do anything in a group and you can do anything individually. I mean, I'm coming to this that I'd like to do it first by myself, because to do it with other people for me would feel a little bit just too much. And is that something that, so you're suggesting that you can do it at home alone and then have a watcher on Zoom there to facilitate? Can you just explain, I don't know how this would work. I would assume that yeah, I just thought you would do it with, you know, being in my home feels safer and more comfortable than being in another place. I don't know if that's a, you know, yeah, I don't, could you just explain how it works?
The summer at home experience has evolved. It has evolved from people asking us to say, well, we can't join that physical gathering anymore. How can you help us share your knowledge and for to have us working at home on our own, be it on our own physically or having a companion with us? So the SOMA at home has gone through this evolution of a period since April last year already. Is it last year? No, the year before, 2020. Good grief, we're heading to 2 years already. Where as a group experience, we've connected or we connect a group of people together, preparing for a Saturday night. We're for a period of a week in a WhatsApp group. We're giving them the information that they need to prepare their space at home. With simple advice or practicalities like lighting, how should you eat? How should you prepare your digestive system? How should you maybe prepare food?
What should you wear?
What should you wear? And then also during that week, also providing the spiritual support, the support as a group, not only by me and Rodianne and Monica, but from a group of normal people like us.
From each other.
From each other. Mm-hmm. So that when you are working on your own for this experience, we are then available via that WhatsApp group. Roger mentioned via Zoom as well, if you're a type of person that would like to log in and see someone on the screen, they're welcome to as well. But primarily, you're working on your own in your own environment with the information we've assisted and provided. And our encouragement is to have somebody with you, but it's not possible and not necessarily everybody wants that.
Because COVID, and I understand why you did it at home alone. That makes, I understand the reasoning, but things are changing a little bit. And I you know, do you do it in person at all is what I'm asking. How does that work?
And hence, yes, there are the in-person experiences which are starting up again, as we mentioned. So, and that would be with someone like Roger and Pala Borba, it would be possible with Monica at Somaland on request. Those are not necessarily set dates. A SOMA experience in that way has to be asked for. Monica, you've had wanting to say 350, but I think you're touching 400 physical experiences where every single event has been asked for by people like you to say, Monica, do you have a date for a SOMA retreat on that Saturday coming up, let's say in February? And she'd be yes or no, and thereby that event has created itself.
Okay, but can you do it on your own with, because, you know, can you do the in-person, but on your own with someone? Can you do that?
We don't have a network of watchers that are on tap. We can refer you to people that we are aware of, and they may charge a varying fee. Some people would charge R1,000. Monica, you would maybe know a little bit more about that because we've had some referrals. Monica?
Donna, I think... the answer is that you can have a friend with you. You can do it on your own with nobody with you. I have journeyed often with nobody with me.
Yeah, but you're experienced and you've done it many times. But for a first time, it's different.
Even when the first time I ever had mushrooms, I was completely alone. And I went into my garden. I spent the night in my back garden completely alone. And that was 12 years ago.
Wow. Okay. Brave. Okay. And then just last.
You can ask a friend to sit with you.
Okay. It's
completely safe.
And then just two more questions. And I'm sorry, Lindy, I've taken just, you know, the length, how long it takes the journey, like how much time do you need to set aside? And then also, you know, the recovery, like, you know, is it I'm assuming you do it on a Saturday night so that you've got Sunday to kind of process and recover and gently ease into the week. Just, yeah, if you could just give me some, the practical logistics around that.
It's an all-night experience.
Okay, but if you take it in the day, like if you start, say, take it at 12 o'clock in the day?
No, it should be a night experience.
Oh, okay.
It's better at night.
Okay. And the reason for that is?
That's just how it works. You can take it in the day if you like, but it's not okay. as profound and deep. It's a night experience.
Okay. Learning. Thank you.
Anna, it's a deep journey into your own consciousness.
Right.
And we found over time that it's better to actually do it at night.
Okay.
And just going back to your question, because I don't know whether it was answered or whether it was quite understood or maybe I'm not understanding you. But let's just say that you were journeying on your own, but you were connected to the, you signed up, for example, for the online process. As watchers, we are there the whole evening, virtually watching over you and available to you at any time while you journey. And while you are journeying, there are people journeying all over South Africa and in some cases across the world. You connect with them in the week building up to the ceremony, to the Saturday evening. And then on the Sunday morning, we have an integrating session where all those who journeyed share their experiences. So you're not alone, if you understand where I'm going.
Okay, thank you.
In many ways, Anna, learning from experience doesn't mean you need to do it our way. So when we say a Soma retreat is a nighttime experience, it's a nighttime experience because we've tried doing it in the day. So you may take mushrooms during the day, but we're wanting you to have the best experience possible, the best connection possible. And from our experience, taking mushrooms in the day is possible and can be deeply moving, can be deeply rewarding, but can be highly distracting as well. Mushrooms, for example, has quite an effect on bright lights and during the daytime, there's a lot of movement around. So hence, we're not going to say that a Soma retreat is a daytime experience because that's not offering you the best experience, but it doesn't stop you from doing that. If that's what you like to do, then that's what you must do. That sense of reinventing the wheel. This is how we do it and how it's being done by enabling thousands of people to do that. So please ask those questions because it allows us to answer them and learn more. And if you come and journey or even journey separately and share with us what you've learned, we can all learn together because it keeps changing. Life is organic. The world and the lives we're living are organic. They should change all the time.
Okay, thank you. Sorry for all those questions and taking so much time, but thank you for your time.
It was nice to have the questions. Yeah.
Okay, great.
Thank you, Donna. Lindy, hello, you've been waiting.
Hi, can you all hear me?
We can.
Okay, great. Well, it's nice to meet all of you here. I must say I was very anxious and put it off for a month or so to eventually get to this state of just doing the Q&A tonight. But my story, I was diagnosed with bipolar about 13 to 14 years ago. And sorry, I get emotional, so can you imagine if I take mushrooms? So I've been on a journey of psychiatric meds for 13 years. Where it's been about 15 tablets a day. And during COVID, I started spiraling out of control because of the COVID fear and the fear that was brought on by media. And I was out of control. And just out of the blue, my sister and her family and her husband and my husband, my sister said in a casual setting, with no, and I'm quite ashamed because there was not prior knowledge of using mushrooms. And it was Come over to our place because they like in their 50s. So kind of hitting a bit of, I think, a bit of hippie phase in their lives. So they, and they like wanting to explore different things, which is fine. They don't live on antidepressants and antipsychotics and what. But because I was spiraling out of control and life was just, I knew I should not have been taking mushrooms with the amount of psychiatric meds I was on. But I didn't care because, I was just going to go and just whatever, knew nothing, had no expectation, didn't know what it was going to do. And it was at actually 2 o'clock in the afternoon. And we ingested, I think it was 2 milligrams. I don't know if the names mean anything, but it was Golden Teachers. But I do now after studying a whole lot of stuff. So all we did for about 6 hours was sit and laugh our heads off. So that's not a journey, if you know what I'm saying. That's no spiritual journey. That's not what you're seeking to get out of this. But I'm just telling my side of the story. And 2 weeks later, obviously there was an interaction with the severe amount of antidepressants I was taking. And it's also, like I heard Vernon, I don't know if he's gone. Does that mean you're gone if your name's just there? I'm not sure. But anyway, Vernon, I heard, is also taking antidepressants.
I'm still here.
Oh, hi.
I'm just lying on the couch. So.
Okay, great.
So that's why okay. I'm
just shutting. No, you don't need to explain. Shame. No, I just didn't know. Okay. Two weeks after that experience, it's like I was saying, it depends on the type of antidepressant that you're taking. There's certain ones that you cannot take with mushrooms. Monica, I think you know the psychiatrist that I've been dealing with in Cape Town very well. And after that incident of taking the mushrooms recreationally, I ended up in hospital 2 weeks later because I'd taken an overdose of tablets. Excuse me. I'm sure not the first person seeing crime. But anyway. In the hospital, I ended up coming around in ICU. And then, I made it, but my mantra now in life, something happened, is I had to die so that I could live. And just give me a moment. I knew this was going to be emotional, sorry. So straight out of the ICU, I went into therapy with a psychologist because in my 13 years of being diagnosed as bipolar, they never ever said to me, but have you seen a psychologist ever to talk about your past or your baggage or what causes you to act like this? So it was always internal. I just kept everything internally to myself. And then after that incident, threw myself into therapy with a psychologist who was, I think it was a divine intervention, because he's not a conventional clinical he's a clinical psychologist, but he's a very, very spiritually, he wears two caps, if I can say that. And after I explained, I didn't tell him the first time that I went, that this is what I'd done, but then I thought, okay, you have to come clean, you know, tell the truth and say, look, do you think this could have been the cause? Because in the interim, my husband and I was searching online for every bit of information that I could find that could have caused me to go over the edge, because in 13 years, I'd never experienced a bipolar relapse. And I started doing some research, and I wasn't aware that from one dose of psilocybin that your life could be changed. So things just started happening to me straight after about 2 weeks after I got out of hospital and started some therapy, which I still see him almost once a week. And it was like somebody had flipped a switch in my brain, and layers of stuff, just information just started coming out. And I said to my husband, this is like peeling an onion. Things are coming to me that had never ever been brought to the surface ever before. Things about my past, things about the world. I said to him, you know, I don't know, I can't take this information back because it's been shown to me now. What do I do? So after many consultations with my psychologist and doing research, I found your Monica, and I'd seen programs about you on Carte Blanche and whatnot. And I decided I'd had enough of antidepressants and them just keeping me numb to the world. You know, you couldn't show emotion. As long as you were flat, and the minute you got happy, someone thought you were manic, or if you cried for a real life situation, you were depressed. And I just didn't want that anymore. I wanted to take the more holistic route in to have the choice to be in control of my healing. And then I sought out a psychiatrist in Cape Town who's also very more holistic with his treatment. And in the last 5 months, I've been able to wean myself. It's been a long 5 month journey to wean myself off most of my medication, because I knew there's no way I can even try the mushroom route if I'm on all of this stuff. And I would like to benefit from it as much, you know, without being on medication. And so I'm anxious to take the next step, but it's not just about relieving the depression symptoms, because I've been able to deal with what's normal to feel, even without mushrooms, that it's okay to feel normal feelings that everybody else feels. My reasoning is, and I know no journey is going to be the same. This will be my first journey, because the first one I don't consider as a journey. So this will be my first journey, and I'm really looking forward to it, and I want to be as open to it as possible. and I know anything's going to come up. You know, you can sit with a psychologist and tell him your whole life story and think, oh, yeah, I've dealt with it. Do you know what I'm saying? But daily things still come up that you thought, wow, where did that come from suddenly, you know? And I'm looking for the spiritual experience of where is this going to take me? Where, you know, it can... I feel ready, although I don't think you can ever be. But yeah, I would just really like to explore more deeper into maybe, you know, they always say you've got to help yourself before you can help others. Your heart and your, you know, you can't love somebody else if you can't love yourself. So I want to get to that place, if I'm boring a lot of you, sorry. But I'm just very interested to see where else other, like, realms or different worlds or different past lives and all of that. But in the meantime, we still have to deal with everyday life. So you've got to find a balance. But I'd like to get to delve further deeper into what the possibilities of this, of what the mushrooms can do for people, you know, as a collective and as, yeah, I just think, yeah. So my question is then, I don't want to do it by myself. I think I've mentioned before that I'm not comfortable with having my husband as the observer. We're not exactly on the same spiritual page yet. So I don't want him to have the anxiety, to carry my anxiety, if that makes sense, because it will just make me anxious and then I'm not going to feel free to go along with the journey. Because is there any truth in the sense of how your mind's feeling before you take mushrooms could be how your journey goes, in what sort of states you are before? Have you ever heard of that? The state of mind, what you're thinking, or could transcend, go in, turn into a sort of a bit of the journey?
Remember what we said at the beginning, Lindy? Just come just as you are. I think the more relaxed you can be, the better, but people have come in high states of emotion sometimes. So you just come as you are and you relax as much as you can.
Okay. I'm in Joburg. So my thing is, I'd have to, I really don't want to be alone when I do it. Mm. And, you know, I don't know. I'm sure, I don't know. A lot of people that venture onto a spiritual journey and a spiritual awakening, you kind of lose friends around you, your old friends. And so, you know, I'm just wouldn't like to do it by myself. I prefer to, it's in a group of people that are going through the same journey, not the same, their journey. And I'd like to do it with experienced people that can be there physically to assist. So I'll have to wait until your journeys start back in the physical world and not online.
Lindy, you can be in touch with us. And we can send you more information on those possibilities that come up. If you wish to travel down to Cape Town, there may be an opportunity. And we've been up to Joburg in the past. There's no short-term plan for that, but they do happen. So let's stay specifically in touch on Macanote. If you'd send me an email and let us know if you're available to travel to Cape Town, we can let you know what options are possibly available and we can take it from there. Your story is quite wonderful in a reminder of how mushrooms bring you here to where you are to continue the path, irrespective of the circumstances, irrespective of the mushrooms, irrespective of where, how, and what. Even a difficult experience could delay a teenager who's taken mushrooms to wait for the right time. This is becoming the right time. So your experience with taking golden teachers with your becoming hippie friends is perfect. And as difficult as what it may be, and it may have felt so such a kickstart, it's in hindsight, we're doing serious work, and working on yourself is the most important, most serious work you will ever do in your life. And you're doing it. And you needed that experience to take you through that journey, which sounds so hard, and you've dealt with so bravely and so courageously, and here you are. Keep communicating with this group. We're here. This group is here once a month, even if you have to tap into this meeting in our community until we get to see you. That's why we're here. These connections happen. Someone will arrive. You will arrive. And that's the path you're following. And that's what we're offering. We're here with you all the way. Everybody here, not just us watching.
Thank you. Thank you so much. I appreciate that.
Yeah, Lindy, I just want to say that thank you for being so open and being so vulnerable.
Sorry, but I do cry.
I need to say to you that we work in love. We work in a compassionate way, and we work in an absolutely non-judgmental way. Your story is absolutely beautiful. I'm just saying to you that just going back to the issue of where you would like to journey and who you would want to watch over you, it's important that you must feel comfortable.
Yeah.
How you're going to do it, with whom you're going to do it. That is important. I'm nearly saying that I'm maybe 4 hours away from Joburg.
Oh, shame. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you, Roger.
Thanks,
that's a reminder as well about the options that can open up and unfold. Mm-hmm. Monica, do you have anything else for Lindy?
No, I did have the thought, Lindy, that if you come to Cape Town and you journey with a group here, maybe I know the psychiatrist very well.
Yes.
And maybe he'll come and join us on that night. Wouldn't that be special?
That would be awesome. Mm. That would be first prize, I suppose. I will speak to him.
I know how much he cares about you.
Oh, okay. Yeah, he's been like really, really played a huge role in my getting to this point and getting me off the antidepressants in a safe manner, you know. So, yeah, it's played a pivotal role.
Yeah. Can I also say, though, something that's very important is if you are going to work seriously with mushrooms, we do need to let go of looking to humans to fill the need, because then you might as well not have the mushrooms. We don't need, yes. When we start working with mushrooms, we let go of a dependence on a human being so that we can actually gain a higher confidence through a connection that we make with a higher source or your inner self, God, nature, whatever you may be. There's a very real connection that you make that is completely different to anything else that you will have ever experienced before.
Yeah. In sort of what context do you mean that? In me, so when I say you lose friends along the way on your spiritual journey.
I wasn't thinking of friends along the way. I'm not sure. I'm trying to understand your question. You don't lose anything. I'm just saying don't depend on human support. Working with mushrooms is a way to stand on your own feet in connection with a higher source.
Yes. That's been one of my problems is that I've actually had to stand on my own 2 feet my whole life. And it's probably also one of the problems where you can't accept help. So it's like you feel very ashamed to ask for that help, you know. So, but I'm glad I have, and I'm glad it's brought me to this group. Thank you.
Thank you, Lindy.
Thanks, guys.
We'll meet sometime.
Yeah, we'll keep in touch.
We look forward to that, Lindy.
Thanks, eh?
Colin, I'm going to come to you next, but before I just want to fill a little gap with Kashin that's sent me a question. And it very much falls in, as we've been speaking, Kashin, the treatment of anxiety and ADHD is in the same bracket of we're not offering that as a solution. It very much is a side effect. Working on yourself and working with mushrooms in that way. And then the second part of your question is, yes, we are talking about psilocybin mushrooms, which are illegal. They are in the same bracket as what cannabis are. And you can do more research about that and where Monica is with her case with the Constitutional Court. Seeing how people, you know, when we talk about cannabis and mushrooms, not necessarily in the same context, but when we're talking about psilocybin mushrooms, it's largely through example. And I think that's why there's this wave that picks up. I refer to often to my mom in the old age village, where they see the elderly man who's 89 years old and everybody's talking about him because he's walking with a skip in his step. And they say, well, what's John doing? Well, John has been taking cannabis drops. And because John has now got a skip in his step, everybody wants to take the cannabis drops because they're seeing the positive effect it has on him. Not from what some study has said or what they said in the media, et cetera, from hands-on experience, just because something is illegal and has been painted with a certain brush, when you start seeing the positive results of people that have experienced it around you, the interest grows. And you can follow more about the legal case and psilocybin on trial. There's a page with that name that's run by Monica on Facebook. And you can research more about that. So I've just shot that in there, Kashin. If I haven't answered your question, please let me know and I'll continue with that. Colin. Hi, Colin. How are you?
Hi. Yeah, well and you. Thank you. I had a lot of questions, but a lot of them have been answered. But Lindy, just with regards, I resonate with your situation. Although not bipolar, I've ADHD and a little bit of autism and a little bit of Asperger's. So very much most of the way through my life, I was considered a retard. My parents, unfortunately, you know, I'm 54 years old. So when I was a kid, it wasn't a much understood. You were considered a difficult child or somebody that needed to actually go to, reformatory or whatever, you know, but luckily I'd grown up on a farm. So, you know, there was a lot more latitude for behavior. And I think the old Plas Boer teachers and what have you were actually a little bit more accommodating. And in fact, in standard four, we had dual medium classes because English and Afrikaans and the community was so small. So you had standard four and five in a class of English speaking students. And anyway, and the teacher marched me down to the principal's office and said, this child can't be here because he can't read. I used to stutter like a four stroke as well. I used to stutter bedonnered. So I've got a little bit of, what do they call it, Tourette's as well, which is, so the swearing occasionally helps do away with the stuttering. But anyway, long story short, growing into a teenager, then obviously became quite depressive and that kind of thing, but not really because of all of these afflictions. And believe me, ADHD is not an affliction. I think it's actually a misunderstood gift at the end of the day. It's allowing people to be able to control it or giving them coping mechanisms. I think it's just a case of hypersensitivity. So before I just digress too much, the thing for me was that at a very early age, moving from the farm to Joburg, when I was in standard seven, and I was in standard seven, I was only 13. So I'd also gone to school a year earlier than I should have as well. But I'd already realized moving to Joburg, it didn't take long. And by standard eight, I realized there was something wrong with the way that we did the world. But as a child, I couldn't understand this. You know what I mean? I just looked at things and I thought, we're doing it wrong here somehow. I now that I'm able to reflect back on it, hindsight's 20/20 vision, and I've done a lot of soul searching over the years. But anyway, sum total is on the depressants and all of that as well. I just have a very strange system in that antidepressants, many of them, depending on what the pharmacological action is, I suffer terrible the mucous membranes, specifically in the nose. So it's almost like I lived permanently with fever blisters in my nose kind of thing, which also, so you had this, but anyway. And eventually I said to my wife, you know what, I can't do this crap anymore, because that put me into a bad mood anyway, being in this, having this constant sort of pain in the, it improved my pain threshold, but having this constant pain just made it really, you know, uncomfortable, and you become a bad person really just out of that. And then I looked towards cannabis, which I must admit, so I sort of microdose with cannabis, long story short, and it really works. And to me, I grow on my own, and it works really well. And I also teach it, I treat it as a medication and a spiritual medication at that as well. So it's not a, so like when mates, oh, yeah, no, Colin grows cannabis, because I've got it up in my man cave, I've got a big grow tent there. Oh, can we have it? No, bro, it's not I don't do party drugs. This is medication. There's a cancer patient or this or that, they're welcome to have as much as they like. But anyway, then getting on to the mushroom. So I had a friend who was diagnosed with stage four cancer. They gave him 4 months. Anyway, long story short, he ended up at Stellenbosch University 3 years into the 4 months that he should have died. And he was sitting in front of professors and they were asking him questions as to how he, you know, actually got there. He'd gone through a company, it's Lifeshine Wellness or something in Stellenbosch. This woman does a completely plant-based diet, but she also talks a lot about the benefits of certain mushrooms. And so then that started piquing my interest. And then I happened to see a mushroom. It's like a Milo. I've actually got some here. And it's got, somebody was saying there was a mushroom that improves acuity and synapse reconnection and all of that. That is actually the lion's mane mushroom is one of them. That's very responsible for that. It has this, you know, I don't think it's been medically proven per se yet, but I'm sure it won't be too long before something like that. But anyway, that just pricked my interest. And I started doing a lot of research on it. along with a number of other things that I research, being hyperactive, I've got 26 projects running at any single time. And but this really got me going, and I read up about it. I read Terence McKenna, Paul Stamets, Michael Pollan, all of those guys, and the messages were all the same. You know, they had different, you know, some of them sounded like properly spaced out ideas, but essentially the messages were all the same. And I thought to myself, whoa, hang on a minute. There's obviously something here. And started delving into it a little bit deeper. And if I may, Lindy, for yourself and then that Vernon, you maybe want to read Michael Pollan's book, because it talks about the default mode in your brain. And that Michael Pollan's book is very, very good. It gives you a rundown about the whole journey of psychedelics. And he only talks about LSD mainly and psilocybin. And but it's a bloody good read. And it's pennies on Amazon. If you've got a Kindle, it's for nothing. And I'm telling you, read it and you'll understand. So, and just to get back to what Monica was saying, it's not it's not a definite heal, but if you use it, and I, you know, before I used to laugh at metaphysics, but I started studying scientists of old, and it's amazing how all of them, even Einstein, everybody, they used to be into their metaphysics. I mean, Einstein wrote a book on metaphysics, but you don't hear about that when you hear about Einstein. You know, he was actually only a mediocre mathematician. But anyway, the chap that used to look at his maths was a short little guy. But they were all into metaphysics. They gave metaphysics a place in science. Yet today, scientists go, "Oh, it's hoo-ha. We can't measure it. Anybody that's got anything to do with physics goes, it's bulldang." Well, you know what? It's bulldang that works, as far as I'm concerned. But I take it from a metaphysical and spiritual point of view, and I firmly, so my questions were, and it's already been answered here for me already. I was a little bit hesitant to do a trip on my own. My wife, was not quite happy to sit, but I'm sure I could convince her. Because she's just too scared of what could happen. Frankly, I was afraid of it as well. I mean, in my 54 years, I think I've lived and done more stuff and had more stuff done to me than most people who live two lifetimes and 90 years old. You know what I mean? And that sort of afraid, it is a fear. But I've also done many, many extreme sports. And that was another thing, trying to get that fear out of there, I think. And I think maybe it has to be a spiritual acceptance of that fear and that ego that actually gets taken away. And I'm keen to do it. And I was quite hoping that Monica was going to say, "Oh, geez, not next weekend, the weekend afterwards we're doing one," but I don't think that's going to happen. But I mean, I've got so into it. I'm nearly finished with it. I'm building a climate controlled mushroom growing thing. I've got my mycelium in my cupboard. It's also the golden teachers that you mentioned. I've also got some of the Natel goodies on order as well. They're coming down. So and because I'm growing this stuff. When I do things, I go full ass. I've got a full-on engineering workshop in my man cave. I've got CNC machine. I do anything. So I'm building a machine that I can literally just have to look at it. I can measure the temperature. I could even make it talk to a cell phone if I wanted to. But it's I'm going for it, and I'm growing them. And to me, it's almost like a bit of a spiritual experience, because I've got to get this mycelium into its growing medium and let it just before we fruit them. And I was thinking it must be, I might even use my own mushrooms even if I came to Monica, you know what I mean? And because it's been that much of a journey for me. But it is a fear, and that's why I'm here tonight, because I need to know, but I'm glad to see that everybody's here with it's not that we're looking for answers. I think we're looking for answers within ourselves. I don't expect anything out of the mushrooms. In fact, I know it's probably going to be quite a wild ride, but it's probably one that I need to have. It's to me the big thing, very much like Lindy, too terrified to be there on my own. And the other thing, to come back to Vernon's story as well, geez, you're there with 20 people and you freak out because you're having the wildest ride of your life, and you might just make it uncomfortable for other people. You know what I mean? I'm You know, I used to smoke many years ago, and as a smoker, I used to sit in the restaurant in the smoking section, but there was just a little thing of flowers like that, and the people were next door to you, you know, like in a spur or whatever, but I would never smoke. I never ever smoked in a restaurant, but I knew because as a smoker, I probably stunk like an ashtray, I must go sit in the smoking section. And that's pretty much the same thing here. I might have this flippin' wild journey and scare the crap out of somebody else who's having this wonderful experience. You know, I'm not sure. I mean, I've never done it before, so I'm not sure if that person will even be able to hear me or whatever the story is. But yeah, I've actually even tried to Google psilocybin experiences on YouTube to try and see people, you know, that have maybe filmed themselves doing psilocybin, but you don't actually see many of them, which is a great thing because that's testament to the spirituality of the experience, and that's what it is to me. And much like Vernon as well, I'm also keen to explore the idea after the fact of having microdosing. Sorry, I've done a lot of speaking, but my question was, if you are having one in the next sort of 2 weeks or so, that's great. Otherwise, it looks like I'm going to have to do an online experience.
Where do you live, Colin?
Me, I stay in Cape Town. I'm here in I'm here in Bloberg, yeah.
Can I just say something? That the issue of fear is an issue that crops up, and there is that feeling of intrepidation, even for an experienced watcher like myself journeying. There is that intrepidation, but I just wanted to just quote the words of Alan Watts, where he said, by replacing fear of the unknown, because that's really what it's about, the unknown, by replacing fear of the unknown with curiosity, we open ourselves to an infinite stream of possibility.
Yep. That's exactly it. Just to take that next step.
And Colin, you have already, because you're here tonight.
Yeah, no, without a doubt. Yes, thank you very much. But thank you, guys, and it's been a wonderful experience. And the other thing, you know what, Lindy, when you started talking, it just makes me understand more and more that adage where they never judge a person until you've walked a day in their steps and in their shoes. And it's you know what, and that's everybody. And I read Walter Russell, who gives you, and if you guys have got time, you want to read the book, The One. He talks about us all being part of the same thing. We are all part of one single organism and you know what, they, and I try and tell the people that are racist and whatever as well. And I say, at the end of the day, everybody is, every organism is part of the same existence. And that's phenomenal.
Colin, in reply to your first thoughts, maybe even this evening already before it moves away, reply to the registration meeting, the information meeting about your interest of joining physical group as well. The same applies to Lindy. And we can send you more information about the possibilities. The other one that I want to remind of is we had somebody, and you remind me of somebody who joined us from New Zealand. She was an expat South African whose lockdown project was to grow mushrooms. And once she had grown them, her first experience with those mushrooms was by connecting with us. And out of the blue, she arrived. She said she'd gone through all the trials and tribulations of learning about growing, and now she's grown it, and she traveled forward in time where we were starting on 8 o'clock on Saturday evening. It was 6 o'clock on Sunday morning there already, and it was, for her, it was a daytime experience, but she had the support of the group. So anything is possible. We really look forward to connecting with you in whatever way. Drop us that mail. It'll come to me, it'll come to Monica if you reply to the confirmation of this meeting that you signed up for. You've got all our details, and we can respond with what options are available.
You know, just to elaborate on that nighttime part of the event that you and Monica stressed, it's because that's why they put the eye shades and everything on, because it's supposed to be a journey within, not to have any other distractions and watch pictures melt off the wall and all that kind of stuff. It's to go and be one with yourself kind of thing. Yeah. And
that's a wonderful reminder and example. Yes, you can go off and watch pretty things and see clouds changing shapes, et cetera, et cetera. Anything to distract you from seeing what you probably meant or have an opportunity to see. And all we're doing is if we want to create an environment and an opportunity for you to actually do that, rather than giving you an opportunity to be distracted. When we as watchers are working in a physical environment and all the watchers here have experience of that, we're dressed in black. We're trying to step back into the background as well, to not interfere in your experience as much as possible. It's part of the skill of learning to be a Soma watcher is we're not the priest that's coming from the mountain to share a message with you about what God said. We're creating an environment with Soma and through sacred mushrooms for you to commune directly with God. That is one of the purposes of a Soma experience. And however you experience that God, the one that's within you, the one that is you, and that's what we're offering as a gift and wanting you to experience as we have.
Awesome. Thank you very much.
Look forward to being in touch.
Thank you.
France. Good evening, France. I'm going to roll the R so that it's an English France rather than a France. Ons kan Afrikaans ook praat, maar dis nie noodwendig die regte plek nie. France and I have some history about language, but such a pleasure to have you here and to have you share and connect with us. How are you this evening?
It's nice to be here. All my questions have been answered, so thanks a lot. It's amazing. I didn't know what to expect, who I would meet online, but it's amazing. And Lindy, it's an amazing story. It's actually quite an eye-opener. I was just thinking, I did quite a lot of work, and you were talking about, Colin, you were talking about Michael Pollan. And there's a wonderful YouTube video for, if you are interested in it, in about an hour video, Psychedelics and the Mind, where there's quite a good explanation, my view. So if anybody's interested, I can maybe just... Then there's a second one, which I also found highly interesting, and that was Revealing the Mind, the promise of the psychedelic. So it's really interesting too. And then there's another more about more on a philosophical, I would say, level, and that's the immortality key, psychedelics and the ancient age, Jordan Peterson. So if you guys are interested, I can if you want more, I can WhatsApp it, or maybe you've all watched it in any case, and I'm talking to guys that have already done it. But that's my little piece. I'm really looking forward to the fifth. I wanted my wife, we were having this big discussion because I, and maybe some comment on this, I felt that I would really like to experience the journey with my wife. Inward looking, obviously, both of us, but then so that you can share the experience with somebody that you love afterwards. I would, and now I've listened to it, and Monica, you've been, both, all of you have been saying, listen, this is safe. Stop worrying about it. It's safe. And even do it on your own. You don't have to have somebody alongside you. Do it on your own. So should I feel comfortable? What's your feeling? Should I say, listen, my lovely wife, let's do it together as a couple. Monica, maybe your view.
Sorry, I was disturbed. I didn't hear your last.
Or Anton, what's your view, or Roger?
Monica, France ended off with wanting some feedback and some thoughts of, should he do it alone? Should he do it with his wife? We put him at ease on doing either, if I'm correct, France. We can't necessarily give you that exact answer, because the advice I'm always trying to give is go with the feeling that you have, because that's the right one. That sense of knowing is the one that we learn to listen to when working with mushrooms and with Soma. Soma switches you on to that connection. It's one of the reasons we also talk about attending a Soma retreat with a 5-gram dose rather than first microdosing. Switch on the frequency first, turn on the channel. And that's what happens with a Soma experience once you've decided to attend, not when you've decided to first take the 5 grams. So you arriving here, you already turning on the radio, if you can use that analogy. You're already starting to listen to that voice. And we're going to encourage you to continue listening to that voice of what...
Did any of your more experienced people... My connection is bad now all of a sudden.
It's okay, we can hear you.
Any of the experienced people around the screen of the table, did their first experience or an experience with somebody that they love? And is it different? Is there something that you afterwards would love to share? Or how does it work? How does I'm in a very good relationship. That it's a really proper relationship. We love each other. So what will you guys suggest? I mean, if I go diving, or if I go on a trip overseas, I don't want to do it alone, because I want to have somebody with me to share the experience with.
France, I'm going to ask Monica to continue with my answer, but I want to share something first, in that when we were doing Soma retreats with Monica in Somerset West, we always encouraged, especially partners, husbands and wife, to be separate. Because what would happen was they would fiddle with each other. Mm-hmm. You'd maybe have an environment where you had a very caring wife looking after a husband, and she would want to worry about him and how he's doing, not allowing him to actually release into his experience.
Or herself to have an experience.
Mm. So with those group gatherings, when there's 10 or 15 or 20 people, we're always encouraging, forget about your partner and focus on this time with you. But in addition, what happened with the Soma at Home events, when people started working at home, we started experiencing the opposite, where husbands were there for wives and wives were there for husbands, firstly as companions looking after each other while the other journeyed, and also times when they journeyed together, knowing that we were there to support both of them if either of them had a difficult time. So there is no set rule in the sense of what to do. Monica, am I on the right path with that in an understanding of what I'm trying to convey?
You know, those are just intellectual questions, and don't as we said earlier on, don't engage with your mind. Just do the journey. Don't worry about small things like that. This is a big experience, and your wife will not be able to. Other than you be happy there's someone there, but you don't need that.
I'm just speaking to that very quickly, if you don't mind. You use the answer in your question already. It's like the person you love is actually you. Yes, mm-hmm. You have a partner, but this journey is about your love for yourself and your love for the divine and for the love of the divine in with you, within you. So ultimately you're carrying that with you all the time. So express that experience and enjoy that experience, loving yourself in that way, you know?
Okay. Thank you.
If I can also just say that it really is a lovely experience for a partner to watch over a partner.
Okay.
Thank you, Roger. Thank you, Franz. We look forward to connecting again in whatever way that happens. Do we have any more questions and anybody else that would like to add some thoughts and comments? Rodianne?
Nope, I'm just having a look on the screen to see if anybody is piping up, but no one is.
Perfect. Then I think that's us for this evening. From each of us, it's 9:30. We've been here for 2 hours already. I'm incredibly grateful for everybody that's been here. I'm even more grateful for each of the watchers, Roger, Margie, Monica, especially Rodianne, more than anybody. Thank you for being here. Thank you for sharing your time with us. And I'll send you a link to the recording tomorrow as it comes through. And be in touch via mail, even while you're in front of your computer right now. Just drop us a mail and we'll respond to you as soon as we can. And appreciate and are so grateful for each of you and your journeys, and so happy to be part of it.
Just sorry, Anton, thanks a lot. Just one note, I see quite a few on the chat group coming through. Please, Franz, can you share the links? Can I share it to you, Anton, and you can share it on, because I can't type fast.
Yes, I'll tell you what I'll do, Franz, is I'll pull these links, including the books. There's Michael Pollan's book, there is Brendan's shared some links. I'll pull them from the chat and I'll include them in the mail. How does that sound? I'll include them
excellent,
in the mail.
Excellent.
That'll go to everybody that attended this meeting. Yes. So if you could do that, this evening, then I'll prepare it and that mail will go out tomorrow. It'll be greatly appreciated. Okay. Thank you, Franz.
Excellent.
Thank you, everybody. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye.